I was going to say, what do you want to talk about today? You know, I still have to do my year-end music wrap-up.
Yeah, I thought that had not gone on yet.
No, I'm still reviewing albums from 2017, so.
Was the Taylor Swift album, is that from 2017?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've got two left, and I'll be done with 2017. So. That'll be good. I know you're probably, what you really want to talk about, I'm guessing, is the dominance of the New England Patriots.
Oh my God. Yeah. I watched a good bit of that game, of the Jacksonville game.
As I said to Go Heath, why torture yourself?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I feel certain now that I can't imagine that Philadelphia will be able to compete with them. Of course, I didn't think Atlanta would be able to compete with them. I didn't think Jacksonville would be. So, who knows?
It's funny. I saw the score at one point. I saw that Jacksonville was up. And I thought, yeah, it's going to be so heartbreaking for Jacksonville when they lose after leading. Like, that'll be hard. But
yeah. Yeah. So, did you listen? Have you heard the Kornheiser from yesterday where they were talking about?
Yeah.
That was Wilbon's, Wilbon. Of course, he's never surprised, but he was not surprised.
Right.
Came back. And I'll have to say, I mean, I didn't the whole time. I was certainly rooting for Jacksonville. And I was impressed. They played really well for a lot of the game. But it did have that sense the whole way that, you know.
Well, if I had been watching in real time, when they had the fumble that got taken away from them, yeah, when they had the fumble six, that got turned into just a fumble, and then they got held to a three and out.
Yeah,
that's probably where I would have said, okay, they've lost.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the game. But
Bill
Barnwell was saying he kind of had that same feeling like of inevitability, like they were, he just never doubted the Patriots would win.
I pretty much always watch sports on mute. I just hardly ever listen to the. To the commentary, and not that I dislike the commentators, but I just get so tired of, I don't know, it so sucks me in, and I can't pay attention to what else is going on in the house and that sort of thing. So I tend to watch sports on mute. And when that play took place, I kind of missed the relevance of that Miles Jack was running free for a touchdown and it got called back. I kind of missed that end. And until like reading the coverage after the fact. And I was just shocked that they actually called it a fumble. I was certain that they were going to say that the whistle had been blown, the ball had been blown dead and hit down. So I didn't kind of catch that. Oh yeah, of course. No, that's a huge, that's a huge reversal, but yeah, the big thing from Jacksonville standpoint that I thought during the game was right at the end of the first half, they had picked up a third. So they're up by 10, I guess it was. And they had picked up a third down that gets called back on a penalty and ended up turning it over to New England there. And then New England comes down and scores.
Right.
And I don't know that there was any controversy around it. It was just poor execution. And the Jacksonville coach said at halftime that was a huge swing and, that this game he would have felt a lot more comfortable. And I thought that at the time. I thought that was pretty crucial and certainly got New England back into it. And
penalty. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we've talked about this before. I'm both things. I mean, I do think that I suspect that they just cheat in all sorts of ways because I think they've gotten away with it so far. And there's no reason not to. Once you decide you're going to, once you decide you're going to cheat and if you don't get penalized for it, then why not cheat more? So I suspect they are cheating. And by the same token, I think Brady's amazing. I mean, I think he's
He's fantastic. And when you give him every break, that just makes it even better. I mean, I love the stuff after the game that people had posted about the refs
congratulating him.
Ref congratulating him. They had a they had a shot where, I guess at one point Belichick was kind of hanging on a ref, like talking to him. You know, he had his arms on his shoulders.
Yeah.
And somebody had made the comment, you know, well, isn't that contact with the ref?
Yeah.
And somebody somebody responded back and said, well, it's okay if it's one of your players, right?
Yeah.
So, I just thought it's fun. But you know what's funny about the Patriots? They're not a fun team to hate. They're just loathsome.
Yeah.
You know, you can't stand Belichick. The guy's a jerk. Nobody likes him. And Brady, nobody likes Brady.
Right.
Like, he's hard to not. He's hard to like at all. I mean, even though you can admire what he does, he's hard to like.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, you could hate Kenny Stabler, and it was a fun kind of hate.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. But, I don't know. I guess, I mean, I know a few people that really like Brady and the Patriots, you know, they kind of now relish that role of the Patriots against the world against the Patriots. They like all that stuff, but I don't know. You know, I guess I started thinking more and more about, and Wilbon mentioned this yesterday. This is like Jordan and the Bulls, you know, and I was sort of when Jordan and the Bulls were so dominant, you know, and that's. Everybody's, you know, the people that couldn't stand Jordan would talk about the calls that he got, and particularly the one push off thing against the Jazz in the one season, and the gambling stuff, and the you know, and that the baseball deal was, you know, a secret punishment brought on by, you know, to protect the thing. Anyway, blah blah blah, all that stuff. And I was a Jordan fan, you know, and I was kind of a dispassionate, but kind of pulled for the Bulls the whole time. Just because I thought he was so great, and it was amazing to feel like you were watching, well, this guy actually might be the best of all time.
Right.
And you know, the team that I root for, the Bullets, I mean, they were not a factor at that point. And so it was, you know, I just kind of went along with it, and all the kind of like ancillary stuff, you know, I just kind of swept aside of like, oh, it's probably all blown up and that sort of thing. And I figure, you know, I've tried to think about it more in that way, that, you know, maybe it's extremely challenging for me, just because, you know, being in the same division, and you know, the Dolphins being in the same division, and it's just been such a down time for them. I don't know. I was thinking the other day about the we were talking with Goheath and email, and about, I was watching, I guess it was 2 weeks ago in the playoffs, and just all the different individual Miami players that, you know, and there's not just a ton of them, but there are a handful that were playing for teams.
Right. Right.
Still in the playoffs, you know, including guys that were like, you know, unsigned free agents who, you know, I can remember, I just happen to remember their name. They kind of have a curious name. And so I sort of remember them from when they signed. And, you know, people talked about, oh, this guy might be sort of a sleeper. And then he sort of disappears. And, oh, here he is. Now he's a start. Yeah, in fact, he is a starting offensive lineman for the Vikings. You know, and we haven't been able to put together a good offensive line for 35 years or something like that. And I was just thinking about, like, how is it really – I wouldn't even begin to know how how do you change the culture of an entire organization, and how hard it is to actually turn around a big group, a big company. You know, how do you turn around Kmart? How do you turn around Sears? How do you turn, you know? Right.
Well, I think it's Wilbon who's been on this kick that, you know, the problem with the NFL is that there just aren't that many good leaders. Like the organizations, the coaches, they're just not that many good ones. And so you end up with a guy like Belichick who looks so much better than everybody else, where, you know, maybe if you went back to 1986 or 85 or something like that, that it just wouldn't be the case. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know. It certainly looks that way. Mm-hmm. That you can have one team so dominate the AFC for such a long time is kind of a joke. I mean, it's the AFC East. Mm-hmm. It's just awful. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Look at the Bills this year. I mean, the Bills actually made the playoffs and they're a total mess.
Yeah, that's right. Know?
There's no way they'll be competitive next year. You know, they'll be back in free fall. You know, the Dolphins made the playoffs the year before, then they went into complete fall. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm just enjoying the NBA this year. That's what I'm focusing on.
So is that true? Have you really been paying attention?
Not really, but I've been having fun watching New Orleans.
Yeah, me too.
They're starting to kind of get it going a little bit. I mean, it's like Oklahoma City. You know, when Oklahoma City was struggling early on, I thought, well, yeah, they'll make the playoffs. I'm not worried about Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll end up being a top 4 or 5 team in the West, and that's where they're at now. So, you know, I mean, if you got that kind of talent, you're going to eventually start winning. So, I don't know. Cousins made last night he had 44, 24, and 10.
That's amazing, isn't it? That's amazing.
He's really good.
I hate it that we're getting this run of fights. You know, like we're getting this big thing about all the off the court fighting and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's so stupid, and it's such a shame because it's like right now it feels like the NBA is sort of emerging as the.
No, I agree.
An interesting league, and for the most part, people don't seem like idiots, and you know it doesn't seem to be hurting anybody long term and stuff like that. Right. So, yeah, I'd hate for this to turn around, and now we get this whole gangland mentality about these teams and all that stuff. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. Yeah, I'm of course rooting for the
somebody on Kornheiser. I thought actually made a really good point about that, which is that when these guys are swinging at each other,
yeah,
it's so exposed.
Yeah,
you know, right. Like I mean, it's not like football or hockey where they're kind of covered up.
Yeah,
and baseball, it's always like some stupid. And I think that hurts baseball a lot too, personally, but.
Sure does.
But yeah, I think it's something they've got. I mean, I think hockey did really smart by cleaning this out of their sport for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, you just don't see it in the NHL like you used to, which I think is the way it should be. But
yeah. No, I agree though. It's a fun year. I mean, that it's kind of neat to see, you know, the Pelicans come together sort of gradually and, you know, they're playing a different type of lineup than pretty much any other team in the league. And yeah, it's fun.
And they got a bunch of Kentucky guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what interests me. And Miller's really good.
They've got five Kentucky players right now.
Yeah. As far as I know, right. It's Cousins, Davis,
Liggins, Miller, Rondo.
Yeah.
I didn't even know they had picked up Liggins.
Yeah, that was very recent. He was with somebody else earlier this season.
I forget who he started the year with.
It wasn't Cleveland. Hold on for just
a second. No, they traded him last year.
They traded him last year. It wasn't Cleveland. He was with somebody else to start.
They traded
maybe him, Chicago.
Well, they traded him to Dallas. So I don't think Dallas kept him. So.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyhow, I hope Liggins can hang in there.
Me too.
I think it's pretty interesting what he's done.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. He's the most. I've never seen a player improve more in one season in college than DeAndre Liggins. When he started out, I mean, he really did not look like. It looked like he had just picked up a basketball. I mean, he was so gangly. And he just did things that, I mean, it really did. It looked like a guy who was just learning, like, the rules of the game and stuff like that. And he became a really good college player all in one season.
Right.
That was him and then they had Josh Harrelson. Right. Those two guys, and people want to talk about You know, that those are the two that I always come back to in talking about Calipari is that, okay, well, maybe, you know, maybe the end game stuff, there's a problem, and you might disagree with kind of the recruiting strategy and that sort of thing. But I'm convinced that, man, he can really help individual players improve,
Well,
you
he can
know, and
definitely
become better.
coach. He
So,
can definitely
I don't
coach players, I think. I think
That's what I think.
the knock on him seems to be more, you know, can he coach a game? But so he was with
Yeah, can he coach
Milwaukee.
anymore?
Liggins was with Milwaukee at the beginning of the year.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So,
Yeah.
Milwaukee, who just surprised me by firing their coach,
Finding their coach, right?
which I thought was very strange.
Yeah.
I'm a
Kentucky struggle. Are you paying any attention to UK?
no, I haven't watched them at all this year.
I enjoy this
I
team.
get the
I, you know,
impression from you guys that they're not all that this year, so.
well, they are definitely, I mean, they are, it does kind of feel a little bit like the Island of Misfit Toys right now, but they're different. They're playing, he's playing zone a lot more. You know, this is the youngest team he's ever had. And they're the youngest team in Division I basketball by a substantial amount. In like basically any way you want to measure it, either by calendar time or you know experience and that sort of thing. And so he's oddly, I think it's like really fun to watch them play zone, you know, and see they play a more varied game, I feel like. Now, offense, you know, people feel like it's a lot of one-on-one and stuff like that. And I guess it is, but I don't know. I'm still kind of hopeful. I'm still kind of hopeful for
Are
this
they going to
team.
make the tournament?
Well, they got work to do so. I mean, I don't think they're out of the top 25 now. And so, you know, I don't think they can go 500 and flame out in the first round of the SEC tournament. They're going to have to do better, but you know, by the same token, I mean, I know what, Goheath is saying about, you know, I don't think anybody thinks they're a threat to win the national championship, but I've seen a lot of pretty good UK teams look pretty bad at this time in January, you know, that were a lot of fun to root for in March,
Right.
but that came around. So I think that's still possible. I mean, I also think it's possible that they're going to go to the NIT and lose in the first round. You know, either one of those are possible, but they've lost a couple here in a row, and they've been, you know, close games and that sort of thing. They also won. I think they've had some really, you know, they won down at Vanderbilt. That's always, I know Vanderbilt's down this year, but that's always hard. And they won down at LSU, and that's always hard. And you know, they nearly gave away a game in Rupp against Texas A&M, but they figured out a way to hang on there. So I think that there's some possibilities there.
I'm glad to see Bruce Pearl's winning.
What's he doing?
Huh?
Well, I don't know. I don't know anything about Bruce Pearl.
Well, Auburn.
Well, but I mean, I don't know anything about Auburn. What's going on with Auburn?
Well, no, just the fact that they're winning, you know,
They are winning. Yeah.
they're what's their record?
UK hasn't played them yet, so I haven't paid any attention to them.
They are currently, hold on, I just looking at this a second ago. Of course, now I can't remember. They are, come on, computer, you can do it. They're 17-2.
Oh, wow.
They're 5-1 in the SEC.
Golly, they're great.
Yeah. So
Well, he's a terrific coach.
they're number 8 in RPI right now. No, Pearl's, he's amazing.
Yeah, he's an outstanding coach.
I don't know why somebody like UIdaho didn't hire him when he was sitting there with nothing to do. But, you know, I mean, if you're already bad, like if you're Washington State, okay, you've
Yeah.
already hired Mike Leach. Just hire Bruce
Right.
Pearl. Like,
Yeah.
what's it gonna matter, you know?
Yeah.
Ooh, he
Well,
comes with a bad stigma. Well, you got
maybe he
Mike
won't move that
Leach.
far away. Maybe he won't move that far away, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's him.
Didn't he? Didn't he start out though? Seems like, well, his history is kind of weird. Like,
yeah, it could be. I mean, the jobs that I know about were he coached at University of Southern Indiana in Evansville and did well in, you know, Division II. And then I think he went from there to the Tennessee job, but maybe there was a stop in between there. In any event, you know, Tennessee and now Auburn.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Southern Indiana. He went from Southern Indiana to Milwaukee.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
Well, he got blackballed, apparently. He's such a weird guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really even know the details of the scandals around him, but apparently. So
he's always got something.
He's always got something. Yeah. So I don't know, but I think, people are really, the people I talk to around here anyway, people are really down on this UK team. And it is just tough, you know, as we've talked about before. The fact that you never know the players, you know, if you don't know the players and they're not winning consistently, it's really hard to stay motivated to, at this point, right, to get into, you know, no, Kentucky, we're so spoiled. We do want them to win every game. That is the expectation. And so the fact that we don't, you know, follow their stories from season to season to season, if they are struggling, it gives you every reason to quit paying attention. And
my impression is that Dad's not really following them this year.
Yeah.
Which is surprising.
You know? Yeah, I know a lot of people who are that way. I know a lot of people who are not paying much attention to them. And I've had friends who go to Rupp and they say that it's like really so much quieter than what it's ever been. And Rupp's always been kind of a quiet, you know, for a big arena that.
Yeah, no, it's never been that kind of a place.
It's sort of a low-key place. So.
Well, I don't know if what it's like now. I know when I was a student there, you know, there was always fights over students and where they're located and whether they should be standing up and cheering and all that stuff, which doesn't help. It never has. Right. It's always hurt Rupp.
Yeah.
And stuff. But.
Well, they definitely, you know, it's not on campus, and you know, it is kind of like a big part of the emphasis of like the Rupp deal, the Lexington deal, the whole UK basketball deal is it's like, you know, a pilgrimage place for people who listen to them on the radio network, and they come and they shop for the weekend. You know, it's the, it's that sort of thing. And you come in and you wear nice clothes and you go and you sit, you know, and watch a basketball game in a really nice place and eat the ice cream. And it's not the Duke Cameron.
I don't know though. Have you ever been to a game at Rupp?
I've never been.
See, the people who travel there, like they're there to cheer. Like it's the old Lexington crew that, you know, that of course have all the best seats who just want to sit, you know, I don't know, unless it's changed. I mean, that's how it was when I was there. It was, Patino tried to address this quite a bit when he was there. He tried to move the students around and
find them a
different place where they weren't, you know, obstructing the view of these ticket holders.
Sure.
I mean, those are the people who didn't like Patino, so I don't know. Go figure. But
yeah,
poor Patino.
Yeah,
just
Western. You know, they've done different things at different points. They've put bleachers in the end zones and stuff like that, and poured in students, and then it's always such an odd culture clash because the people with the good seats at the bottom, you know, they're the
right.
You know, middle-aged or old people in red sweaters and, you know, obviously much more quiet and that sort of thing. It's hard to create that culture, you know, to nail that what you want. But they just packed, Western just sold out for the first time in several seasons. They sold out for their game Saturday night against Middle Tennessee State. And, of course, as always happens whenever there's a giant attendance push, that diddle for a game. They end up losing those games. They always lose those games. Anytime there's like, you know, that's, I mean, that's,
we're going to break through, guys. This is going to be,
yeah. Yes. Well, you know, Western gets plenty. I think Western gets plenty of attention. I feel like for their, you know, their, I mean, I'm always amazed that I feel like you know, there is a lot of history there. There have been a lot of wins, that sort of thing. And I feel like it's duly noted. I really do. And then, like, every once in a while, like, you know, there's this huge thing, like, let's put up placards all over town and pack the place and all that kind of stuff. And we always lose those games. I hate it when we have one of those because it means we're gonna lose. And it doesn't make a difference. Men, women, whatever. Either basketball team, that's always been true. I'm always just like, it's fine. Let's just have our 8,000 people or 6,000 people or however many people we're going to have in there. Let's just play the game. You know, those. I just always want it to be a normal game.
Right, right.
You know.
I don't know, though. You know, it's expensive to play Paxton Park now.
Oh, I would guess it is. I would guess. Was it like $20?
$11 for 9 holes. That's not bad.
That's fine.
We could do that. You have to book a tee time though.
Oh, that stinks. We could also play. We could do like the state park or.
Yeah, wouldn't be the same, but yeah.
The main thing we need to do is go to the Park Avenue Kroger and get snacks. That's the main stop we need to make in Paducah.
Is that still there?
Oh, it's not only still there. I mean, it is straight out of 1985. I mean, we went out there, well, the year that Kentucky won the Calipari National Championship season, and we were out there that time, and I can believe it. I mean, it's got the old Kroger logo, you know, that, and it's not the old logo because it was new, like in the middle 80s. And, yeah, I mean, it looked exactly the same. Exactly the same. So much of Paducah, people talk about how much it changed, and it has. But then it's like, oh, well, this hasn't changed at all.
Right.
You know, this is exactly the same.
Right. You hit a certain area, right?
Yeah, yeah. Or just like intermingled. And I get lost behind the mall, you know, like behind the mall to Feather's house. I can't navigate that area anymore. But.
Oh, sure.
Or, yeah. You know, the roads around. You know, I'm always like, wait, did we just pass Concord? Kind of like that every time. I lose my bearings a little bit, but. But a lot of it is just the same.
Yeah, that's how it was when we were there last, trying to show Mabel around. I couldn't remember. We could try to play Rolling Hills. I wonder if they'd let us play.
Yeah. Well, we just remind them who we are. Remind them our history of Rolling Hills. Okay, so I got to bring – I'm sorry. I got thrown off today. I'm like totally wrong.
No, it's fine.
This thing, I got totally thrown off by this shooting today at Marshall County. That's all I've been doing this morning is paying attention to them. But I think, okay, so for so how about for next week's podcast, let's both think about the route, and let's both think about places between here, between along the, you know, that could be on the route that we'd want to see.
Springfield, Missouri.
I'd love to go to, I love Springfield, Missouri.
Yeah,
I'd love to.
That's going to be our first stop.
I'd like to go to.
There's a KOA there.
I'd like to go that I've never been is Jeff City.
Where's that?
Jefferson City.
Oh,
Missouri.
Oh, Jefferson City. I haven't either.
That's the state capital. I've
right.
never been there.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I'd be kind of interested in that.
There's a KOA in Stanton on the way up to Jefferson City.
Okay.
So we could do something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to go to the state capitals. That'd be great.
Yeah. That'd be good. I'd be for that. I'm always interested in seeing the state capitals.
Same here.
Well, let's do that. Let's come back. Let's do some talking about the places we want to see along the way.
That'd be fun because we could go up to Cape Girardeau.
Yeah.
And then hit like Route 72, State Highway 72.
We should go. We should go
take that up towards then.
At Cape Girardeau, we should arrange in advance and have a tour of like KFDS. That'd be fun.
I haven't been in Cape Girardeau in 40 years, probably. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm actually not certain I've ever been to Cape Girardeau.
Really?
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
I don't remember it. I've been to Harrisonburg a number of times, but I've never been to Cape Charles.
I like the idea of trying to do state capitals. So maybe we'll try to incorporate that as part of the whole tour.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that sounds like fun.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about that. Let's come up with some places before next week.
Okay. All right. Talk to you soon.
All right. Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.